Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
God raises up prophets to proclaim the truth. And in the heart of this passage that we're looking at in 1 Timothy chapter 4, you're really going to see a job description for a prophet. You're really going to see the heart of what God has established a prophet to become. Because as Paul has been encouraging Timothy in how to live and what he needs to do, he's now going to tell him how he needs to speak.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. When we think of the word prophet, some of us envision a person who can predict the future and speak on very important events that have yet to pass. But when we look to the Bible, is that all there is to this unique spiritual gifting? Well, today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues a lesson from 1 Timothy on what being a prophet really means. Now, if you've missed any part of our current series, The Kingdom Embassy, we encourage you to catch up whenever you can at bravemedia.online. But right now, let's join Pastor Jeff as he begins the third and final part of a message titled, Prophetic Calling.
I believe God has a word for us this morning. So I invite you to open your Bibles up to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 11. And five marks of a prophet start like this. The first is that a prophet must preach and teach with authority. Secondly, a prophet must provide an example. Third, he gives us this. He says, prioritize the word and the spirit. When the living word is proclaimed and Jesus Christ is exalted and glorified, the Holy Spirit also uses that to bring conviction to your heart and show you what steps to take. God has us preach with authority so people can hear, provide an example so they can believe, prioritize the word so that you can grow. But not only the word of God, also the spirit of God. Because what does he say in verse 14? Do not neglect the spiritual gift within who? You. Not only did he save you and make a deposit of the gift of the Holy Spirit, but he gifted you with service to his church. Every single one of you is gifted. Most of us have been lied to for so long, we feel like we're worthless, we're lousy, we're no good, we have nothing to offer God. I'm not a pastor, I'm not a worship leader, like who am I? I don't have anything. No. You are special, you are chosen, you belong to him, you are set apart for service, and God gifted you in a unique way for you to serve him. Now, in a nutshell, let me tell you how spiritual gifts work, because this is not a sermon on spiritual gifts. All of you have certain talents that you had before you got saved that came with you after you got saved. Like, if you were a good communicator before you got saved, you'll be a good communicator after you got saved. If you stunk at organization before you got saved, I'll testify, you'll stink at organization after you get saved. If you were good at math before you got saved, you'll be good at math after you got saved. There's certain talents you're going to bring with you and certain weaknesses you're going to bring with you. Spiritual gifts aren't like that. Spiritual gifts are supercharged gifts by the Holy Spirit for you to perform an operation in Christ's church to be a benefit to someone else that you may work at, but is really easy for you and comes supernatural to you. You say, well, how do I discover what my spiritual gift is? Well, you can take a spiritual gifts inventory and it will help you find those things, and that's a way to do it. I think the best way to do it is do this. Get in a small group, get in community. Other people will tell you what your gift is. You know, if you're the person that's coming to the small group and you have everything stacked in nice little neat containers and all the papers are nice and neat and there's paperclip just right, you have the gift of administration. And everybody will see that in you. If you're the person that has the gift of encouragement, you're the one that everyone gravitates towards when things get difficult, because that person's going to have a word for you that night that's going to make you feel better when you leave. If you have the gift of prophecy, people will thank you for your gift but not want you to be part of their group for very long. I mean, all your gifts are going to be recognized within the body. Certain people do certain things well, and others of us are weak in those areas. They take more work for us, and other people don't even realize it's a gift because they just do it all the time. If you have the gift of encouragement, and somebody told you you had the gift of encouragement, you would say, well, that's so sweet. I didn't even know I had that. You are so nice to tell me that. What a great person you are. That's an encourager, right? If you have the gift of hospitality, you know, when you have people over to your house and people will tell you you have the gift of hospitality, like, I didn't even know I had that, but I guess we do, because like every night this week we've had people over and we're so energized by it. And if you don't have the gift of hospitality, you have people over for one night and you're like, that's about enough. Maybe next year we'll do that again. I mean, different people have different gifts that bring them different levels of energy, and other people can help you discover that when you're in community. And all gifts are welcomed in the body of Christ. That's why we need the Spirit and the Word. We need the Spirit and the Word. We need the proclamation of God's Word, and then we need to turn people loose in the Spirit to accomplish everything that God has. And every single one of us is wired different, and God's arranged all the parts of the body just the way He wanted so that His church could flourish and we could advance His kingdom in the world. Amen? You've been gifted. You're super gifted. You're supernaturally gifted by God. And when you're using your gift in community, people will recognize it and say, you should do that more often. You should take steps in that way more often. That's what God wants you to do. Prioritize the Word and the Spirit so that we can grow, that we can be filled with Christ. Amen? Let me give you a fourth way. A prophet must also progress through diligent practice. Progress through diligent practice. Now notice how he finishes verse 14. He tells him not to neglect the spiritual gift within you. Notice how he says it came, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery or the elders. Now there's a lot of debate. Did Paul, as an authoritative apostle, pray over him and the gift went from Paul to him? Or did Paul just affirm the gift that he saw in him? We don't know. I can debate it both ways. We know that a gift was transferred, that the Holy Spirit is the one that brings gifts, that Paul was affirming a gift in Timothy. I'm telling you, the older I get, the more I appreciate the people that prophesied into my life when they saw things in me. And prophecy is simply this. It's a word of encouragement, exhortation, or comfort that somebody prays over you that resonates with your spirit. You have the ability, unlike the Word of God, to reject or receive the prophecy. Prophecies are not inerrant. Somebody may prophesy something over you, and you're like, I don't receive that. That ain't true. I'm not welcoming that in my life. That's okay. But for somebody that speaks a word of the Lord over you and brings comfort into your heart in a way that you know God has been speaking to you, it accelerates things in your life. Paul was praying over Timothy. Paul laid hands on Timothy. Paul said, don't be timid in your gift. But guys, God gave you a gift of power and love and self-discipline. Stand firm, Timothy. You're going to do great things for the Lord. Timothy received that into his life. We need to be encouragers to other people in the body of Christ that God can use anybody, anywhere, at any time, any way He wants for His glory. Because everyone has been supernaturally gifted by our King for service in His kingdom. Amen? And then we're going to progress in that. I mean, just because we're gifted doesn't mean we've arrived. Notice what he says in verse 15. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Take pains in them. Labor with them. If you have a gift in some area, use your gift. Grow in your gifting. Don't just rest on your laurels. Some of you know that some of the best athletes in the world, we're talking about professional athletes, Olympic athletes, it's not that they get to their team or that they get to the Olympic training or they make the Olympic team and then they're done training. That's when they really go into training. That's when they realize, you know, I'm on the team, but in order to perform at the highest level, now I've really got to train. So professional athletes and Olympic athletes, they train all day long. They eat certain ways. They discipline certain ways. They train certain ways that they wouldn't have otherwise trained in. Why? Because they've been specially gifted and they need to give it even more attention. Now, why do I say that? Because I'm a pastor. Most people think I work a half a day a week. That my week's coming to an end here in just a short period of time and then I'm done for the week. No. The Bible says whatever your gift is, take pains with that. Be absorbed in it. Labor in it. If you have a gift of encouragement, speak to more people and write more notes. The church needs it. If you're administratively gifted, find a place that will use your gift and grow in your ability to bring administration to something that you're doing. Right? Whatever your gift is, grow in that gifting. Long before I ever stood up here, do you know who I used to preach to? My couch. Because I didn't have an audience and I didn't have a congregation and we only had four youth in our youth ministry. So I would preach at home to my couch. I think all my furniture was saved at least three times. Chose not to baptize them because I didn't want to sit on them wet. But I would walk around my living room and I'd walk around my house and I'd hold the Bible and I would do what I'm doing now and I would preach as if there were people actually listening to me. Then there were times when I knew our pastor was gone. There were only two of us on staff. I walked into the chapel or the church itself and I knew nobody was in the building. I'd stand up front with nobody in pews and I would preach. And nobody heard me except for God. Praise the Lord for that probably. I was working on it. You say, well, how do you do it now? Well, I'm in the Word every day and I pray every day and I'm worshiping every day and I'm growing every day. I'm trying to listen to the Lord so I can hear Him more clearly every day so that when I get up here, I have something worth saying, right? I mean, God wants us to practice what we preach. God wants us to walk our talk, and not just every now and again. He wants us to be absorbed in them. Why? Because I promise you this, church, just listen to me. When you get to heaven, you will never apologize for the amount of time you serve the Lord. It's the greatest return on investment. There will be nobody that gave the Lord their best that will stand in a line and say, Pastor Jeff, man, I could have watched more Marvel movies and sports, but you made me do this. What a waste. Never gonna happen. You give your best to the Lord. There's the greatest return on investment for giving your best to the Lord. What does it look like for you to give God your best? Take pains with them. Grow in them. None of us has arrived. I mean, it'd be arrogant of us to say, or to hear someone say, I know I'm a great preacher and nobody will ever be as good as me, so I'm done studying. I'll just show up next week. So I had a coach in college, he would say this, you're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. Spiritually, I think that's completely true. If you are not moving with Christ and walking with Him, you are actually moving away from Him. How are you growing? How are you taking pains with these things? How are you absorbed in them? Well, I don't feel like reading my Bible every day. Get it. I don't feel like praying every day. I get it. I don't feel like learning to tithe. I used to get it. I mean, I understand every spiritual discipline. I don't feel like sharing my faith. I get it. I understand. That's why you take pains with them. That's why you're absorbed in them. That's why you're talking to God about them while you do them. And you're telling the Lord what you want to see Him do. It's not just this rote habit. It's not religion. To this very day, when the Lord asked me to do something, I know when it's the Lord. And sometimes I'm still trying to help Him out understand. I don't think you quite understand, God. Here's some other things that you may not be aware of. And here's why I probably can't do that right now, but thanks for sharing. You have those experiences? I still am talking with the Lord, even when I know He's right and I'm wrong. Because I'm growing with Him and I'm processing with Him. It's not so much just that I do what He says, but I want to understand why He's asking it of me. And I want to know how He works and I want to grow in that. So do you. A prophet must progress through diligent practice. And why? Notice what he says. So that your progress will be evident to all. So that other people will see that you're growing in Christ. Now, why is that important? Because I think we live in an age of distrust and disgust when it comes to leaders. Would you agree with me? I mean, we see leaders out there like, how can I trust them? I don't know that I can trust any of those guys. I don't know that I can trust any of those gals. I'm kind of disgusted with the way they've acted. And oh, how I wish I could tell you, that's out there. That's politicians. Those are educators. Those are your community leaders. Those are people that work in the business world, but not us. We're pastors. You can totally trust us. But there's a slew of us that have dropped the ball. I know when I stand up here that in many of your minds, like, how can I trust that guy when all the people I know in church, I've never been able to trust. I get that. And it pains my heart. So what does God ask us to do? You better be growing in the things of the Lord so people can see your progress, so that the people can trust you. I've lived long enough that I've seen friends of mine fall in the ministry. And as painful as it is to watch somebody that loves the Lord do something incredibly stupid, that's not the biggest pain. Do you know what the biggest pain is? It's the negative impact they have on their church. And it's the negative impact they have in the world. For mature Christians, when they see somebody fall, here's what mature Christians do. Say, man, that was bad. I'm going to another church and I'm still gonna grow. But can I tell you what everybody else does? People that are growing in their faith are bewildered and they're like, do I even believe this stuff anymore? What church can I go to? And if it wasn't true for him and he was saying all those things, then how can it be true for me? And I don't know. I may go to church. I may not. I don't know. And then there's those that are spiritually immature that will say, I'm done with church. And just so you know, the reason I don't go to church is because of the story of that guy. Do you think I'm aware of that? I would rather be hit by a bus and killed today on my way home than not finish well. And just so you know, I don't want to be hit by a bus on my way home today. But at least I know that if it happened now, people would lament because I'm dying with integrity. I'm not going to tithe my wife or my kids or anybody else. I'm going to live with integrity. And the best prayer you can pray for me is that I finish well. I'm 50 years old. I'm heading into my glory years now. I don't know how long I get. I don't know if I get 5, 10, 30. I don't know what I get, but as long as I get, I want to honor the Lord. And I want to know that I finished well when I crossed the line. I want to say like Paul, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. It means this. What are you doing to be intentional? Because it's the things that you do that nobody else sees that makes you able to stand in the tough day. I can tell you whatever I want. It's what does God see behind the scenes? Am I really studying the word or am I just telling you that? Am I really praying or am I just telling you that? Do I really tithe and give above my tithe or am I just telling you that? Do I really serve or am I just telling you that? God knows. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you in truth that I do, but God knows. And it makes more difference what God thinks. It means we got to practice. It means we got to progress. Why? Because all it takes is somebody looking at you saying, yep, just a bunch of hypocrites. That's why I didn't trust Jesus. You know what Gandhi said in his life? I would have been a Christian if it weren't for all the Christians. He read the word. He loved Jesus. He loved what he saw. He just never saw it lived out by any of his followers. How tragic is that? That's what we're talking about. Amen? Not that we're perfect. We're progressing. And where we're not right, we confess. Let me give you a final one. A prophet must also pay attention to both life and ministry. Pay attention to both life and ministry. The reason a prophet must progress in his practice is so people can trust him, but he must pay attention to both life and ministry so people can have hope. Notice what he says, pay close attention. That means really focus on this to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and those who hear you. What are you to pay attention to? Your life and what you're doing. Both are equally important. If you're not paying attention to your life, but you have a great ministry, but in doing your ministry, you tithe your kids and your wife to the devil, that's not a successful ministry. I know pastors that are a little bit older than me whose kids won't go back to church because of the way their dad treated the church and the way people treated their dad when he was in the church. And the church to them was that which stole their dad. And they want nothing to do with church. That's a tragedy. That's pathetic. I know men that have had successful ministry whose wives wouldn't say it publicly, but inwardly, they can't stand being married to the man. That's a tragedy. He says, you better pay close attention to your life. You better be living this thing out. Who you are when nobody's looking and who you are with people that are closest to you, that's really important. And you better pay careful attention to your ministry, what you're saying and how you're living. Now, how do you do that? One way is to take inventory and be aware. But can I give you a second way? Be willing to take feedback from people who love you. Be willing to take feedback from people who love you. Who do you have? I've told you I have 7 people in my life that can speak to me about anything they want. And I can tell you this. Sometimes when people have spoken to me about things they think I need to hear, they haven't always said it in a way that's palatable to me. I think there's ways they could have said it different. But I also know if they're saying something to me, they mean it. And there's something in what they're saying that's true. And I better be listening. Because I know they love me. And I know they love this ministry. And I know they love my family. And I know they want me to finish well. So I listen. What's the nugget there that I need to hear? Because if they're saying it, there's something there. There's trouble on the horizon. Who are the people that you know in your life that genuinely love you? And if you're single, they genuinely love your purity being single. And if you're married, they genuinely love your marriage. And if you have kids, they genuinely love your kids. If you're doing it, they genuinely love you. That you will let speak into your life about your life and your ministry. Who are they? Because I can tell you on authority, the people I know that have fallen in ministry, they didn't have that. Now there's people around them that were speaking those things to them, but you know what they were doing? They were doing this. They weren't listening. Will you listen? Nobody can make you listen. You have to open up your heart. And feedback's not fun, just so you know. Good feedback's the breakfast of champions, but it's tough to eat. It's not very palatable sometimes. When people tell you about who you are as a husband and you're not doing a great job, or how you are as a father and you're not doing a great job, or how you handled a certain meeting in ministry and didn't do a great job, that's tough to hear. Because we all want to save face and we all want to say, yeah, but you didn't know. But if you have people that you trust that you can speak it in and say, I need to think about that. Let's talk about what you really mean. What'd you say? If you got people like that, it's a safety net for you. I wish I could teach every seminarian this coming out of seminary. You better pay close attention to your life and you better pay close attention to your doctrine. Why? Because people's lives are hanging in the balance. Now we know God does all the saving. I don't save anybody. You don't save anybody. Only God can save. But here's what happens. When you pay attention to your life and ministry, you provide hope for people. Because when you're growing in personal holiness and doctrinal orthodoxy, there's incontrovertible evidence that Jesus Christ is Lord. People see it. They believe it. They feel it. You ensure salvation for yourself. You're modeling that you're on the road to be saved. And other people say, if he can save that guy, I know he can save me. There's hope. There's joy. We're moving in that direction. And God cares about his church. And when a prophet follows his job description, people hear the Lord. They believe the Lord. They grow in the Lord. They trust in the Lord. And their hope is fixed in the Lord. Can we praise God for his prophets that are doing his work? We need that. God's doing a work doing that. Open your heart up to what he has for you. God is blessing his church through men of God that are faithfully proclaiming his word. Sometimes you'll leave encouraged. Sometimes you'll leave convicted. Sometimes you'll leave thinking, what do I need to do different? I'm not quite sure. That's okay. Just keep getting fed the word of God. Study the word of God and let the word of God be your guide and let the Spirit of God do what he wants and he will lead you where he wants you to go. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor for who you are. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that has convicted us. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ and you know you don't have a relationship with him, then this is how you may pray. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that I'm separated from you, but I believe that you're the Lord who died on a cross for all my sins and who rose from the dead in victory. Right now, I repent of my sins and I trust you as my personal Lord and Savior. Come into my life and take over. And Lord, for those of us who know you, we just pray that we would release more and more of ourselves to you and that you would take over more and more of our lives so that we could walk in your ways all the days of our lives. And for what you're gonna do, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise as we worship you and your great name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Can we give God praise this morning for who he is?
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, and the final part of a message titled, A Prophetic Calling. It comes from our current series, The Kingdom Embassy. And if you'd like to learn more about how to connect what you believe with how you live, keep joining us for this practical study. And remember, you can always find these programs and catch up on any you may have missed at bravemedia.online. And for easy listening on the go, download the Brave Church app. With the app, you'll have mobile access to all of Pastor Jeff's messages and sermon notes, along with exclusive opportunities to get involved with the Brave Church community. On the app, you'll see options to sign up for a small group Bible study, share prayer requests, and learn more about upcoming events here at Brave Church. So don't miss out on this free faith-building resource. You can download it to your phone or smart device today by logging into your favorite app store and searching for Brave Church Denver. Now, before we close today's program, we invite you to join us for weekend services here at Brave Church. If you're listening from anywhere in the Denver metro area, make plans to visit in person this Sunday at our campus in Inglewood or our other campus located in Westminster. If you're listening from elsewhere, join us right from home through our live stream. You'll find all the details to attend or stream weekend services at bravemedia.online. Just go to the bottom of our homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you have any questions or comments you'd like to share with Pastor Jeff, we would love to hear from you. You can email us, hello@bravechurch.co, or write a letter. Send your envelope to Brave Church 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado 80113. I'm your host, Bill Carl, and tomorrow we're focusing on what it means for the church to be more than just a friendly organization, but an authentic spiritual family. Discover what the Bible says about caring for your spiritual family. Next time, here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.